Well, good morning. My weekend was a little crazy. I was part of a wedding, part of a funeral, and now I'm here today. I've never stood here on a Sunday when I wondered if my voice would crack like a 13-year-old boy. So if that happens, please don't laugh at me like you would a 13-year-old boy. If there's any 13-year-old boys in the room, I'm just kidding, okay? Life gets better, all right? But it's the month of January. We're in this series called Your Move, as we've been talking about, and this is the time of year where people make New Year's resolutions. It's the time of year where we talk about things we want to start doing, things we want to stop doing. And as a church, we're at an important time. As we've mentioned, we kind of had a three-year startup phase, and we're in those final 6 months, and so we're talking about some major things that we want to make sure are in our DNA and are in our foundation as we get going. And so we're talking about things that are personal for everyone here, things that are our next move, things that are your next move. And so we're figuring those things out. And so 2 weeks ago, if you haven't been here, or if you were maybe falling asleep or something, we were talking about our vision. We said to see our vision happen, you have to give your church away. And that's not always a comfortable thing that we said. We said we need people who are willing to serve and be the foundation of what God wants to build on here. And last week, we were talking about what it means to be committed and sacrificial. We said that the way that we see God is proportionate to the commitment and sacrifice that we show. And we said we want to be very intentional, we want to be very purposeful in the way that we build this church, in the way that we grow in our relationship with God. If you'll remember, we played gardener, we had some pots and some dirt, and we said that if you want to see something grow, you don't just say, alakazam, grow, garden, go, but you have to be intentional about that, right? And so you have to plant those seeds, you have to water them, you have to fertilize them, you have to check up on them again. Sometimes you have to move a pot to light, or you have to do all kinds of things to make sure that something grows. And we want to be just as intentional in our spiritual lives. And so this week, we want to talk about some things that are really the secret ingredients of our culture here. Some things that maybe if it's your first time here, your second time, you wouldn't necessarily notice. If you go on our website, you might not see them. But these are things that you have to dig deep and know. That these are things that are maintaining our DNA and our culture. They're moving us and developing us and pushing us as a church. And so we want to talk about what it means to really build the foundation of our church. We've talked about the concept of giving into that, of saying that we want to serve. And this morning is really our way to talk about how we can do that. And so last week we were in the book of Acts. We talked about the fact that once Jesus' earthly ministry was done, once he had been taken back up to heaven, we saw the gospel go forward into all the world, into the region of the Middle East there, and we saw new churches started, just as Movement Church has started. We said that the men who were in charge of the church, the apostles, were going just all over the place, and we're starting these new churches. We're also shepherding these new churches and kind of mentoring them, coaching them, and so most of the New Testament, the Bible is divided into two testaments, Old Testament, New Testament. The New Testament, much of it is letters to those churches, just because as you're new in your faith, as a church is starting, it can be confusing. It can be a time where you're wondering, all right, what does the gospel look like in our town? What does the gospel look like in West Columbus? What does it look like in Hilliard? And so the letters in the New Testament were kind of coaching that group of people. And so this morning we want to look at something that was put in those letters a few different times to coach those churches. What does it look like to be the church? Not just to have a church, not just to go to church. What does it look like to be the church? And so we want to look in the Bible, something that was prescribed for the church and just the effect that it would have on the world. And so I want you to know this as we're jumping in and as we're talking about a secret ingredient. I want you to know that Movement Church will be led by elders. Now, some of us don't know what elders are. Some of us are thinking, like, does that mean we're going to bring in a bunch of 80-year-old men with silver beards? Or, you know, you hear the word elder and you think of maybe someone older and you're confused by what that means. Elders are something that was listed in the New Testament, a way that was often told to churches. This is how you can lead yourself. This is how you can keep yourself moving. This is how you can protect yourself. And this is how you can lead and run the church as God wanted. And so I want to invite us. We're going to look at a couple different secret ingredients today. This is the first one, but I want to invite you to look at Titus chapter 1 this morning. If you've got a Bible, if you don't, there's one in your chair, under your chair, next to your chair, beside your chair. I promise there's a Bible somewhere close to you. And we're going to be on page 917. In those Bibles. We want to look at Titus chapter 1 just because this will tell us a lot about what the future looks like for us to be led by elders and by a group of qualified men who are going to love the church and who are going to give themselves to the church.
So this is Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And I'll read this to you. You can follow along. It says this: I left you on the island of Crete so you could complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. Often, as Paul would leave somewhere, he would write back to that church and he would say, here's some instructions, here's some things to think about. And so he's saying, I left you there. I knew that things had to be finished up, things had to be brought to completion, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to appoint elders. And so in verse 6, he says this: an elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. An elder is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, all right, but what if I'm not going to be an elder? What if I don't want to be an elder? What if I'm still confused on what an elder is? All right, this is something that's important for us to know and talk about. As we move forward, we want to be led by a group of men who have been charged by God and who've been we've been given their example in the New Testament. These are guys who are going to interpret Scripture. These are guys who are not going to be the front of the ship, but they're going to be steering the ship. And that's not said in an arrogant way or, oh, they're more spiritual than you, look at them kind of way. That's just to say that that's the next phase as a church gets started. We want to find some men in our church who are qualified for this, and we want to appoint them, and we want to do what God wants from his church. And so just to go back over this passage, I mean, it mentions a lot of things, but it says that an elder should be faithful to their wife. It says that they should be able to lead their family. It says that their children should be believers. It says they shouldn't be arrogant or quick-tempered or not violent. It says a lot of things there. We read it and you saw that. It says they should have a devout and disciplined life, and it says that they should be anchored in the gospel and anchored in God's word. So that they can lead their church, so that they can teach people about God's word, and honestly, so that they can look at things that aren't true and they can chase those away, or they can say that those things are false. And so why are we going over this? Because this is the next phase for us. And we'll be talking about this much more in the summer, later on in the year here, but this is something that I want to be part of our culture, something that we need to know about, something that we need to be educated about. When we select elders, it's not going to be like a voting process where we're like, all right, who wants to do it this year? It's a terrible thing. But at the same time, when a church is this new, we're probably going to ask for some input. Because honestly, I have a feeling that the people who are going to be our elders are already living and functioning as elders. The people that you would go to, and you, if something was wrong in your marriage, the people that you would go to for advice, or if something was wrong with your finances, or if you just had a breakup in a relationship, or if you're having some family things, the people that you would go to, and they're probably already functioning as an elder. And so we want you to be thinking, who would you want to have in that spot? Who would you want to have in that role? Who would you want to follow? Who do you believe that God has marked so that they can lead your church? I want to ask us to turn to another passage. It's 1 Timothy, just a few pages over to the left. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. It's on page 911. And this is kind of a similar passage that mirrors this, but gives us a better idea, more defined idea of what those elders will look like. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says this: This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? An elder must not be a new believer, because he might become proud, and the devil would cause him to fail. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him, so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. So hopefully that gives us a little more detail, a little more idea, and yet obviously you're starting to see some themes occur, some things that were shared there.
We know that as Jesus left this world and as the church was started, that was God's plan to redeem the world, was the church. His plan for the gospel to go forward and for people to know about him and spend eternity with him, for them to find out about that, his plan was that would happen through the church. That is an important, sacred, incredible thing. And he gave the oversight of that. He gave that to this position, this concept of elder. And so we want to take that serious. And so again, there were some concepts there talking about these people living with self-control, talking about them exercising wisdom, talking about them having a good reputation, and talking about them managing their families. There's a lot of things that were in there and things that we want to take serious. And so what does it look like to be led by elders? In America, we often think that churches are led by pastors, right? That's what you see. That's who's on the website or something like that, I think, right? That's what that's supposed to be. Pastor is a gift. An elder is a function. And so could a pastor be an elder? Could an elder be a pastor? Yeah, but those are not the same thing. And so elders are the ones who interpret scripture. Elders are the ones who lead. Elders are the ones who decide where the church goes. And elders are also the ones who shepherd people. Their job is not to be dictators. Their job is not to be crazy and cavalier and take things where they want to go. But they, in some ways, I mean this, that they have a burden and a weight on them. There's a passage that's shared, I believe it's in Numbers 11, and Moses is talking about picking elders and talking about the men that will lead in that time in Scripture. And he actually alludes to a weight that's going to be put on their shoulders. And so those of you who lead a family, those of you who lead a business, those of you who are involved in a non-for-profit, or those of you who are dating someone, you know that sometimes when people are involved in your life, there's a weight that goes on your shoulders, right? You know that as soon as you take on the care and the concern and the well-being of other people, and as soon as you're thinking about leading them, you know that there's a weight involved in that. And so day to day, I don't expect this to radically alter my job. I don't intend to be fired by those elders, but I guess that's up to them, right? Please don't do that if you're out there, elders. But I think that this will be something that will strengthen our church. This is something that will kind of spread that weight and that responsibility around. It will give us the wisdom and the gifts and the insight of more than one person. Churches are not meant to be built on the wisdom or the talents or the insight of one person and one personality. The New Testament tells us that churches are to be led by elders, and so we're going to be talking through that, transitioning to that in these next couple months. I don't plan to go anywhere. I'm kind of hoping to be one of those elders, to tell you the truth, but I think that this is something that will strengthen us and something that will spread around what God wants to do in our church. And so just be thinking about that. Here's something that you can do. Start praying about who God wants to be our elders. Start praying about that, who God wants to be our elders, because that's an important thing. And I don't know exactly who that will be. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but that's a few months out. And we don't want to just say, oh, we need elders. We should start talking about that. We want you involved in that as you're a valuable part of Movement Church. And so please start praying for that. And honestly, like I said, please start looking around. Not that you're giving people a grade card or anything like that, but say, all right, who's doing that? And how can I pray for them? And how can I lift them up as we enter that process? So that's just something I wanted to put in there today. We're going to talk about two things, and they're honestly kind of very different. And so wanted to throw that one out there. And so let me pray as we transition here and ask God to open our eyes to this next thing we want to go over. God, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the concept of elders, the way that you've asked your church to be led. And God, I just pray that as we transition to that, I pray that you will give us wisdom. We pray that you will just begin to draw out those men and their families and how you want us to be led. Lord, we want to be humble. We want to be your church. We want to go where you want us to go. And so we know that that's part of this next process. And so, God, we just give that process to you and ask that you will give us wisdom. Lord, we give that to you this morning. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Tyler, can you do me a favor? Can you bring me the old fireside chat table? I don't get to have a fire, but it'll still be fun. We want to talk about another principle today, and so I brought my good friend, the solid wood jumbling tower. In some families, it's called Jenga, but not us because we shop at Big Lots. So it's the solid wood jumbling tower. So that's what we've got today. Please don't mock my family or laugh. My mother-in-law bought this for me. She might be here. You never know. So we want to talk about a concept. Like I said, we've been talking about serving. We've been talking about a lot of things. It's magical, isn't it? It really is. All right, we've been talking a couple weeks ago. We got up here and we laid boxes, and they were much bigger and cooler, but you'll see where we're going with this. We said that for Movement Church to move forward, we needed people to give their church away. We said that we needed people to lay down and be the foundation that God wants to build on. And we said that early on we had that in our DNA, that people were a part of that process. People said, I want to serve. I want to give myself to this movement of people, and I want to see what God can build on me. I give my time. I give my energy, I give myself, I give everything that I have, and I want to see God use that. And so we've seen that done in some pretty cool ways over this last year. We've seen God move, we've seen people come to know him, we've seen God do some awesome things in marriages, we've seen new groups built, and we've seen God double Movement Kids in the last year. We've got some new families here that we're so excited about, and just excited about what he's doing. And as Joe shared this morning, there are a lot of different ways that happens. There are a lot of different ways that people give their gifts. There are a lot of different ways that people give their talents and the things that God has gifted in them, different abilities they have. And so we want to make sure, as we're talking about a secret ingredient this morning, we want to talk about the way that we structure ourselves to make sure that we can keep God's momentum moving and keep that going. And so there are people who are on the setup team, and there are people, you can imagine that you're whatever level you want to be. If you want to be on the top and you're on the setup team, let's say you're the top, okay? But there are people who are in the band. There are people who run tech. There are people who lead and apprentice in movement groups. There are people who are part of our outreach team. There are people who do all kinds of different things. There are people who make the graphics that are on our screens, make bumper videos. There are people who decide what things will be tweeted out on our behalf. There are a lot of different people giving a lot of different talents in a lot of different ways, and seeing God use them and build them and add to his church. And we're excited about that. But this has been a cool season. We've recently grown as a church. We've seen an influx of new people, and we're excited about that. We're excited about what God is building, about what God is doing, and about where he's bringing us. But there are people, you know, there's kind of that moment where you're new to a church and you're like, all right, do I trust this place? I don't even know if I like this place. I don't know if I like these people. I'm not sure what's going on here. And then there's a moment where you realize that you've made a home. You realize that you've been somewhere for a while. You realize that you do trust people. You realize that you're excited about what God is building. And you realize that you're somewhere in the middle there. You realize that you're involved, and you realize that you have a home. And you realize that you're where you're supposed to be. And so I want you to know this morning, if you've never heard this from us, or if we haven't made that clear in the last couple weeks, that Jesus gave us the plan of personal growth and multiplication, and that is something that we believe is called apprenticeship. Now, some churches will just say, like, all right, we want you to go do this job. We believe in something that's much deeper than that, and something that's called apprenticeship. Apprenticeship is not really celebrated in culture today. It's something that used to happen, like, in the 1700s, if you were a silversmith, right? Like back in the Paul Revere era, maybe if you wanted to learn a job, you wouldn't go to school, but you would say, hey, can I be your apprentice? Can you teach me how to do this? We believe that apprenticeship is how people are discipled. We believe it's how people are changed, and we believe it's how they're grown into the body of Christ and how they find a home in a church. And so whether you're on the setup team, the tech team, whether you're doing social media, whether you're doing graphic design, whether you're doing Movement Kids, whether you're teaching, whatever you're doing, we believe that happens through discipleship and through apprenticeship. We believe that that's God's plan to grow people and to multiply people and multiply churches and movements. And so I want to just go over what that looks like today, what it looks like for us to see God build something, and what it looks like for him to add to what we're doing. And so there are four parts that are really part of that process, and we can see them in the life and ministry of Jesus. I'm going to briefly touch on those things today, not spend a ton of time jumping to passages, but you can read the book of Mark this week. We'll allude to that if you want to write those down. There are some great moments in here where Jesus really tells us, this is what it looks like to follow me. This is what it looks like to grow in your relationship with him. This is what it looks like to grow in your gifts with him. And this is what it looks like to invest in his church. And so Jesus gave us the plan of personal growth and multiplication through apprenticeship. The first part of apprenticeship is simply this. It's selection. There was a time that Jesus went to the disciples, and he said, hey, you want to be my disciple? That's not actually a quote if you've ever read the Bible, right? Sometimes he went to people and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Sometimes he said, follow me and I'll teach you how to run after God. But he would see people, right? He would notice them and he would invite them into a journey. He would say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He did that
in Mark 1:16, and we see that. And after he did that, he wouldn't just say, follow me and take off running and just expect them to find their way, right? But he would kind of name some expectations. And we see him do that in Mark 3. He sent the disciples out to preach and to teach and to invest in the church. And so he said, come and follow me. I want to teach you how to be fishers of men. I want to teach you how to invest in the church and build in the church. And then he named some expectations. He said, this is what this is going to look like. This is where we're going. This is how this is going to happen. And then obviously, if you've ever read the Bible, if you've ever read the Gospels, you see that Jesus lived life with those men. You see that there were times that they were eating together and laughing together and traveling together. And there were times that he was rebuking them because they were saying, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? And there were times that they got it. And there were times that they didn't get it. But as they lived life, he talked to them and he invested in them. And he really kind of didn't just name the expectations, but he prepared them. And so we have selection, we have expectation, we have preparation. That's the third part of an apprenticeship process. It's not like if you're going to learn to be a welder, they just say like, turn on that flame thing over there and then melt the two pieces of metal together. And good luck with that. No, they're gonna teach you, hey, here's how you turn on the torch. Here's the kinds of metals that you can melt together. Here's how you could really burn yourself really bad. Here's how you make a good bead. Here's how you can become a welder. And so we want to apprentice people. We want to show people what it looks like to follow Jesus. And we don't think that following Jesus is just being a nice, good person. We don't think that it just means that you read your Bible and stay at your home every day. We don't think it just means being in a movement group. We think it also means saying, God has given me these gifts, and I want to give them back to his people. I want to serve his people, and I want to serve his church. And so we apprentice people through that process. It's discipleship. It's sharing life. It's the naming of expectations, but it's also preparation and coaching those people and following up on those people and helping them get better. And so apprenticeship involves selection, expectation, preparation. And so there are some common themes of people who are being apprenticed around here. And here's a process that you may see often. This is the five steps of leadership development and apprenticeship. It goes like this. I do, you watch, we talk. The first time that Joe came to set up, he was probably pretty confused, right? Because there was a crazy guy named Craig climbing a ladder and putting this curtain 16 feet in the air, and he was like, what if that guy falls off the ladder? Why is he up on a ladder? How did we find a curtain that long? And had all kinds of questions, right? What if I get electrocuted when I'm plugging in this soundboard? And so after that first week, let's be honest, you're gonna be watching a lot of things. And you're going to be confused, but you're going to get to talk and catch up. The second part is this. I do, you help, we talk. Second week here, Joe probably thought, you know what? I should hold the ladder so that crazy guy doesn't fall off the ladder. I kind of know what's going on now, and so I can be a part of that. So the third part is you do, I help, we talk. And so as you grow and as you gain knowledge, not just for a task, but on having a heart for the church and a heart for people and what's trying to be accomplished, whether that's for first impressions, whether that's for making coffee, whether that's for setup, you're going to get the hang of things, but you're still going to need coached and you're still going to need to talk to someone and process through that. And sometimes it's you do, I watch, we talk. Sometimes the help that you needed in the beginning is not going to still be something that you need because you're understanding the process, you're getting comfortable in the process, you're getting to where you can lead in the process. And the last part of that is you do and someone else watches. See, that's why we believe in apprenticeship, because it's not just about one person teaching another person so they don't have to do something every week or so they don't have to bear the weight of that. We believe that discipleship is passing forward what it looks like to use your gifts and what it looks like to love the church and what it looks like to be invested in the church. And so when the disciples, when the apostles were investing in the first church, they didn't just say, hey, let's do this one time and then we'll all call it quits and go home. No, the gospel went forward. And it traveled around the world from different regions and different areas. And it was invested in other people. And people were apprenticed. And people were shown, here's what it looks like to follow Jesus and to run after him and to love his people and love his church and give your gifts. And so apprenticeship goes forward. And so here's the final part of apprenticeship. Apprenticeship at some point has a completion. And we like this, those of us that are in college, because we want to know that we're not doing this forever, right? You want to know that you're not trapped down on campus. But there is a graduation, right? There comes a day where, let's be honest, you can lead and you can function and you can serve just as well as the person who was originally teaching you. There comes a time where you're ready to be sent off. And we saw Jesus do that in Mark 6. We saw him send the disciples out. And he said, you're not perfect, but you're ready to go. Because they had lived life and he had coached them and he had prepared them and he had named expectations after they were selected. And he said, it's time for you to go out and have impact. And so we believe in apprenticeship. We believe in that as our philosophy for discipleship. And that involves selection and expectation and preparation and graduation. But here's what I want to show you about graduation. And I hope this works because I was always terrible at Jenga. Might not work, right, guys? When you graduate, there's a time that you find that you're just, I don't want to say it in this wrong way, you're not needed because other people have been developed and other people can now bear the weight of what's going on and other people can be used in the church. And so when you graduate, when you've been discipled, when you've been apprenticed, when you have a talent, when you have a gift, God can say, you know what? We're gonna send you elsewhere. And we've seen that recently, right, with some of our people. We've seen people who were apprenticed as worship leaders go on staff and be hired at new churches. And that's not failure. That's not like, oh, man, our good people are leaving. That is exciting because the point of the gospel, the point of apprenticeship is to invest in God's church and send people out. And so that might mean that we take those pieces and we can start a new ministry or we can do something else. That might mean that God wants us to start a new campus over here. That might mean that God wants to take some other people. As people are apprenticed and people are developed and they graduate out of there, God might say, I want to do something over here. God might say, you know what? I want you to plant a church over here. And you've been faithful in developing those people. You've been faithful in showing them your expectation and preparing them. And so I want to do something here. I want to do something here. I want to build something here. I want to show you what I want to do. And so God, at different times, disciples people. God helps us apprentice people. And then God moves people. And that's how we build into his church. We say, God, I want to serve. I want to be used. I want to be built upon. And then we let him show us what's next and where he wants us to go. And so we've talked about a lot today, but I want you to think about this. Some of us have been at Movement Church for a while. Some of us have made this place home. Some of us are here consistently. Some of us are in groups. Many of us are in groups. Many of us are giving, and yet I want to know, are you committed? Are you invested? I believe this. I believe we see this pattern from the ministry of Jesus. For someone to grow in their relationship with Jesus, they have to be discipled. And when Jesus made someone his disciple, he invited them into a process of apprenticeship. He didn't just say, oh, come and follow me. I'll teach you to read the Bible and we'll talk to people. But he would share life with them. And so you're not just agreeing to be on the setup team. You're agreeing that the person that runs the setup team is going to ask, hey, how was your week? They're going to ask, what are you struggling with right now? They're going to ask, what are you celebrating? What challenges are you facing? What can I do to help you with those challenges? How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? As you're invited into apprenticeship, you're going to share life with someone who cares for you and shows you how to love and serve the church and also how to grow in your personal relationship. And so we're talking about your move. And if I'm being honest, I think that some of our moves for this morning need to be that some of us need to make a home and need to enter this process of discipleship, this process of being apprenticed in investing and building in God's church. And we have a lot of different gifts represented here today. We have people who are graphic designers. We have people who have an intimate knowledge of hashtags on Instagram and how that can affect things. And I'm not one of those people, right? I just hashtag everything Mark because I want attention, right? Not really, but I'm going to start doing that. It sounds awesome. We have people like Joe who were offensive linemen and have huge shoulders. And he didn't want to brag about that, but he's incredible at setup, right? Because he can put a piano on his back, right? We have people who know how to run lights through a computer, and I didn't know that was possible until 2 weeks ago. And we have people who set up these chairs and make sure that every aisle is 19 inches wide so that you have just enough room but not too much room. We have people who have all kinds of different gifts. And for us to make a home, for us to be servant-minded, for us to say, God, I want to give my gifts and myself to you so that you can build your church on top of me, so that you can build and so that you can use me. There has to be a moment that we say, Lord, I'm going all in. I'm being invested. I wanna be invited into this process. I wanna learn what you want from me. And I wanna go where you send me.
It doesn't mean that you're going to be asked to go plant a new church in another continent or anything like that, but it might be that at some point God will say, hey, you've been in this ministry. I want you to lead this. I want you to be vital. I want you to be important, and I want you to apprentice people and develop people just as you were invested in. And so we talk about our next steps table often. We talk about that is the place where your next step happens. That's why we named it that, right? And yet, for some of us, I think that we walk right past that table and don't think about that table. We've had an exciting season at Movement Church, and I don't doubt for a second that God wants many of us to make a home and to say, Lord, I want you to build your church on top of me. And as a first step, as a next step, what that's going to look like, that's going to look like someone saying, here's my talents, here's an ability I have, here's a way that I want to serve, here's something that I can do to be used. I want to help God move in this place. I want to help God do something great here. And I want to make a home for the next person that's just like me. I mean, Joe mentioned that he joined the setup team because he thinks, all right, who's the next person that's coming in the doors? Who's the next person that needs someone to serve, needs them to make a home? You probably remember, maybe it was this week, the first time you walked in, someone looked you in the eye and shook your hand and smiled and said, welcome. Or someone made the coffee that you're drinking right now. Someone set up the stage. Someone made a home so that you could come and you could find your way back to God. We want to be the people who build that foundation for the next phase of Movement Church. And so I want to ask you today to consider that. Consider going to the next steps table. I'm hoping that table will be flooded. I'm hoping that there will be a lot of people there that will say, you know what, I've made a home here, but I've never officially entered into apprenticeship. I've never officially served. There are times that life is busy, that we're waiting on that time when we'll have a lot of free time. That time is not going to come. We're waiting on the time when we'll have more money. We wait on a lot of things and we say, all right, God, then I'll serve you, then I'll give to you. That moment's not going to come. We want to be people who are giving ourselves to God and who are serving right now, right where we're at, and putting that into the DNA of our church and our lives. And so if you've been here for a while, maybe if you've been here for a week or 2 weeks and you're saying, God, I want to give my talents and my abilities. I want you to build the church on my foundation. I want you to build the church on me for this next wave of people who are going to come. I want you to visit the next steps table. You can help make coffee. You can help set up. You can help with Movement Kids. You can change diapers. You don't even have to talk to anyone. You can just goo goo gaga at babies, right? There are people that is their gift. Whatever your gift is, go back to that table and say, here's what I'm good at. How can you use that? Here's something I'm interested in. And maybe you'll say, you know what? I'm really strong and I don't like to talk to people. Maybe you can say that. You can say whatever you want, but you're saying, God, here are my gifts. Here are my abilities. I want to be apprenticed. I want to grow. I want to be an anchor and I want to be invested in the church so that God can build on top of me. And so the question is just this. What is your move? We've been in this series building up to a lot of things. But none of those things matter if someone doesn't take a step and someone doesn't make a move. How will you invest in God's church so that he can build on our shoulders, so that he can build on our foundation, so that he can apprentice us and develop us and take us where he wants to go? What will be your move? What is your move? Will you pray with me? God, thanks for today. Thanks for a chance to look in your word. Thanks for the chance to be excited about what you're doing. God, thank you for the chance to just look at our lives and look at our talents and ask what you want from us, to ask what our next move is. God, I pray that Lord, I pray that you will move in us today as a church. I know that there are people, Lord, who have been apprehensive, or maybe they've been burnt in a previous church experience before, and they're not sure if they want to be involved, not sure if they want to give someone power over them to hurt them again. And Lord, we just pray that we will take serious your love for the church and your call to growth and discipleship. Lord Jesus modeled apprenticeship for us, and so we believe in that, we trust that, we know that. We know that that's what you want from us. Lord, growing in our faith is not just filling in blanks in a workbook. It's loving people. It's loving your church. And sometimes it's messy. And so, God, help us to be serious about that. Help us to commit to that. And, God, I do just pray that there will be people that will visit the table today, Lord, not because of something I said, but because you've anchored them in your church. You've helped them find a home. Whether they've been here a week or 2 years, Lord, they know that you're calling them to action. You're calling them to be a foundation for what you want to do. And so, God, we ask that you will move in us as we worship and as we sing today. God, we ask that you will help us to be firmly committed to what you're doing and to be excited about what you're doing. And so, God, I give you the rest of our day, God. I give you the rest of our morning, and I give you all of our talents, all of our abilities, Lord, the church that you've built. God, we're excited about the leadership you're going to bring, the elders you're going to give us, and all that you're doing. But Lord, help us to know that we need to take a step towards you. We need to move and be excited about what you're doing. It's in your name I pray. Amen.